Blog Talk Radio.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone around the world. It's Friday, Friday morning here in Israel, 9:30. I should be out and getting ready for Shabbat. Instead, I decided to be with you and speak to you about what is so heavy on my heart at this moment. We're entering the culmination of the 3 weeks of mourning with Shabbat, which would actually be the ninth day of Av, which is probably the saddest day in the history of the Jewish people, remains that way forever until the day that Mashiach comes. And actually, that could be immediately, because our sages tell us that Mashiach, the Messiah, was born on this day. And so it is great probability that Mashiach will come and bring us peace and bring us what we've been looking for since the beginning of the world, a Jewish people that is united, a Jewish people that unites the world, a united world. Why is the ninth day of Av such a horror day for us? Well, this is right out of Chabad.org. So let me just list some of the catastrophes of the ninth day of Av. 1313 BC, the spies return, say that the land is not conquerable, and 38 years in the desert, a generation has to die before we get to go to our land of Israel. And of course, this happens on the night of the ninth of Av. The people cry and saying they insist they would rather go back to Egypt than to be slaughtered by the Canaanites, because the spies who were sent to scour out the promised land come back saying that it's not conquerable, there are giants. And then God, of course, is terribly displeased, because I'm telling you, this is your land. Go there. And the people don't believe. The first temple was destroyed also on the ninth day of Av in 423 BC. 5 centuries later, in 69 of the Common Era, as the Romans drew closer to the second temple, ready to torch it, the Jews were shocked to realize that the same day, the ninth of Av, is the day that also the second temple would be destroyed. When Jews rebelled against the Roman rules, and their leader, Shimon bar Kochba, would fulfill their messianic longings, they hoped, they prayed, but they were cruelly and brutally butchered in the final battle of Beitar. Of course, on the 9th of Av in 133, Common Era. One year later, obviously, the Romans plowed over the temple, a nation's holiest site. Jews were expelled from England in 1290 CE on the ninth day of The Golden Age of Spain came to a close when Queen Isabella and her husband Ferdinand ordered that the Jews be banished from the land. The edict was signed on March 31, 1492, and the Jews had 4 months to get their affairs in order, get out of the country. The Hebrew date is the 9th of World War II and the Holocaust. Historians concluded began in 1914, and yes, the Germans declared war on Russia, which effectively catapulted the First World War into motion on the 9th of Av. The conversation of the 9th of Av is not only a Jewish conversation, but as we see, is a conversation that includes also the conversation of the whole world. And that is how we are, we Jewish people, part of the world, a part that for some reason will not die. The old Romans are dead, the canines are dead, long past and long forgotten. Nobody remembers. Historians write that the people as a people, the greatness of what they achieved, and nobody can ever take that away from anyone, is basically forgotten. However, when something happens in the world, and every day something happens, it usually has to do with Israel. It usually has to do with the state of Israel. It has to do with Jews. It has to do with medicine, with invention. It has to do with politics, and it has to do with judgment. And it has to do with hatred, and it has to do with the world taking our history and destroying that which is carved in stone. Go to Rome, see the Ark of Titus, and see the Jewish people being driven away from their temple, carrying the holy menorah, and see that the story is not a story that doesn't exist, that the mound, the temple mound, is and was and will always be of the Jewish people. The negativity of what happens in the world, the negativity of the attitude against Jewish people is not something new, nor is it something that is going away. And until Mashiach comes, and I believe that Mashiach is already here, will remain. The 13 principles of Jewish faith, written by Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, the Maimonides, the Rambam. The 13 fundamental truths of our religion are the foundation of Jewish faith. And this foundation of Jewish faith is the foundation of Temple Mount and is the foundation of Temple itself and is the foundation and the rock of our people. And how many people don't even know them? How many Jews do not know the foundation of our people? Ani mamina be'emuna shlema, I believe with the depth of my faith. In the existence of the Creator, who is perfect in every way, in every manner of the existence, and He is the primary cause of all that exists. I believe in the belief in God, absolute and unparalleled unity. The belief in God, non-corporality. Nor that He will be affected by any physical occurrences such as movement or rest or dwelling. I believe in the belief in God's eternity. I believe in the belief that to worship God exclusively and to have no false gods is primary. I believe in the belief that God communicates with man through prophecy. I believe in the primary and the prophecy, the primacy, sorry, and the prophecy of Moses, our teacher. I believe in the belief in the divine origin of Torah, and I believe in the belief in the immutability of Torah. I believe in the belief in God's omniscience and providence. I believe in the divine reward and retribution. I believe in the belief in the arrival of Mashiach and the Messianic era. I believe in the resurrection of the dead. I believe that God is one, His name is one, and there is no other God beside Him. Let me ask you something. Tisha B'Av, the ninth day of Av, our cries through the ages, our lamentations, God, why have you taken away your house? Why have you taken away our land? Why have you taken away your land? God gave this land to the Jewish people. We lost our temple through hatred, senseless hatred. We lost our temple 2 times. But not because God didn't want us to have it, but because we don't do what needs to be done in order for the temple to exist. Very interesting article that was sent to me, where Rabbi Jacobson speaks about the stuttering of the people Why are the Jewish people stuttering? Stuttering meaning, why are they not saying what needs to be said? Why are they not doing what needs to be done? Why are they not pulling out what needs to be pulled out to the world that says, here is our land. We've reclaimed it. We didn't steal it. It was given to us. The world reads the Bible. Christians read the Old Testament. The world understands and has always understood that the land of Israel was given to the Jewish people by God, God Almighty, in whom all of us believe. Yet, the United Nations, I have to laugh, because whenever I begin speaking about politics, I say to myself immediately right thereafter, what is the point? Because there is no point. What is going to change this is not politics. What is going to change it is not who is going to be president of the United States. What is going to change all of it and whatever happens in the world is God. God Almighty, God is one, and God is for all mankind because he is the one who created it, and he is the one who will destroy it, and he is the one who will decide what is going to be. We read dates of things that happened in history. That's great. But who decides? Rome didn't decide. Greece didn't decide. The Canaanites didn't decide. Nobody decides. Hitler didn't decide. God decides. How many Jews do you think in the world today? 1% of the population of the world, and the whole world talks about the Jews. Why? Because ultimately God is the father of the Jewish people, and the whole world is talking about God. The whole world is not talking about individual Jews. The talking is about a nation, about a people. Why? Because they're God's people. And through the ages and through our cries and through our lamentations, we are and we will always be, and nothing will change that. The Jewish people, the people of the book, the people of Hashem, the people of God. How many people, how many Jewish people know the book of Eicha, the book of Lamentations, 4 chapters of cries after the destruction of the temple But at the end, it will say, you will be rebuilt. At the end, it will say, our people will have Zion. And this is how we start Eicha. Oh, how has the city that was once so populous remained lonely? She has become like a widow. She that was great among the nations, a princess among the provinces, has become tributary. She weeps in the night, and her tears are on her cheek. She has no comforter among her lovers. All her friends have betrayed her. They have become her enemies. Judah went into exile because of affliction and great servitude. She settled among the nations and found no rest. All her pursuers overtook her between the boundaries. The roads of Zion are mournful because no one comes to the appointed season. All her gates are desolate. Priests moan, her maidens grieve, while she herself suffers bitterly. Her adversaries have become the hedge. Her enemies are at ease. For the Lord has afflicted her because of the multitude of her sins. Her young children went into captivity before the enemy. And gone is the daughter of Zion, all her splendor. Her princes were like harts who did not find pasture, and they departed without strength. And this goes on and on and on. For four chapters, lamenting. Lamenting what? Lamenting us. Lamenting the Jewish people. Lamenting that because of her sins, because of what she has done, because of what she has become, she is losing, she has lost, she will lose. Nothing, absolutely nothing changes. Nothing changes. We have back our country. We have back our Garden of Eden. We have back all of the milk and the honey that God gave us when He gave us the land of Israel. And what are we doing? How many of us are observing? How many of us are fasting? How many of us are understanding what is really going on? How many of us are putting our lives at stake for the 13 principles? How many of us are turning around and saying to the world, I don't want what you have. I want what is mine, what belongs to me by divine right. I am not giving up a single solitary inch, centimeter of the land that was given to me by God. What right do I have to do that? It's mine. It was given to me by the creator of the world. My right to be in the land is my birthright as a Jew. My right to be on the mount, my right to have a temple, my right to be on what God gave me is my right. You can't take that away from me, because who are you to take it away from me? Only God can take it away, and he did. He devastated the temple. Why? Because I was not strong enough. My people were not strong enough. The Jewish people sinned against God, and God makes the decision to give and to take. He is the only one who ultimately decides what shall be. Billions are spent on elections that should be going to feed the poor of the world. Hundreds and thousands and millions in actuality are being killed for the sake of political gain. Whom are we fighting? Whom are we fighting? Why are we fighting? Does it matter? Ultimately, because ultimately, the decision of who will win, who will lose, who will live, and who will die, as we say on Yom Kippur, which is the second day where we lament. But in both of those days, there is one incredible thing we hope. We hope and we see the future. We hope for change. We hope for God's blessings. We hope for Mashiach. We hope and we see the vision of what will be the land and what will be our people and what will be our freedom. Wake up, Jewish people. Stand up, Jewish people. And speak of your God. Speak of your land. Fight for your God. Fight for your land. May Mashiach come immediately right now and bring us peace in the land and in the world. Shabbat Shalom.